Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, as we come before you today, we pray that you would send your Spirit to open our hearts and minds to receive you, to understand your plan and your purpose for our lives. Lord, use this time to remind us of your great love for us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever heard the phrase, he's majoring in minors? It's used to refer to a guy who's in college, and he's got a major that he's studying, and then he decides he's going to add on a minor subject to that as well, because he's really interested in the side topic. And then he gets so engaged in that he adds on another minor subject, and then he adds on another minor, and then he adds on another minor, until the point that he's so busy studying all of those minors that he never actually gets around to finishing his major course of study and graduating. He's majored in minors. Well, that temptation is one that plagues all of us from time to time, not just college students. And so as we seek to listen to and follow Jesus, we always want to make sure that we are focusing on the center of our faith and not getting distracted by the side issues. C.S. Lewis provides a brilliant depiction of this in his book, The Screwtape Letters. Screwtape Letters is this fictional account of a senior demon, Uncle Screwtape, writing letters to his nephew, Wormwood, giving him guidance on the best way to lead a Christian astray and cause him to lose his faith. It's set in pre-World War II England, and so you hear conversations back and forth between these two demons, the best way to tempt someone. And in one of those letters, Uncle Screwtape writes to his nephew about something called the cause. Whichever he adopts, your main task will be the same. Let him begin by treating the patriotism or the pacifism as a part of his religion. Then let him, under the influence of a partisan spirit, come to regard it as the most important part. Then quietly and gradually nurse him on to the stage at which the religion becomes merely a part of the cause, in which Christianity is valued chiefly because of the excellent arguments it can produce in favor of the British war effort or British pacifism. Once you have made the world an end and faith a means, you have almost won your man, and it makes very little difference what kind of worldly end he is pursuing. Provided that meetings and pamphlets, policies, movements, causes, and crusades matter more to him than prayers or sacraments and charity, he is ours. And the more religious on those terms, the more securely ours. The cause. From merely a part of faith to the most important part to more important than faith itself. If the man falls for this demonic temptation, he will have fallen prey to majoring in the minors and will have lost sight of the center of his faith. Well, the beauty of Lewis's work for us is that none of us are wrapped up in those pre-World War II issues of British war effort or British pacifism. And so it's a little bit easier for us as Americans, removed by some time and distance from those issues, to recognize how those really are not the main thing and a distraction from Christianity. But what about some of those issues that are a little bit closer to us, a little bit more near and dear to our hearts? What about the cause of morality, where we bring our kids to church because we know that they need to have a good moral upbringing, but not because we actually care about knowing Jesus ourselves? What about the cause of prosperity, where we show up to church on occasion when it's convenient, and we expect that because we've done God this favor that now he's going to bless us in whatever it is we choose to do? What about the cause of relationships? or having good, meaningful friendships at church is the most important thing. What about the cause of music? We are a church that really loves great music without any concern for whether or not that music is helping people to experience and worship Christ. Or what about the cause of the poor, where the most important thing is how we are caring for and feeding the poor without any concern for how in that process we are also introducing them to the grace of Jesus. Now please don't hear what I am not saying. I am not saying that music or caring for the poor or even morality is a bad thing. They're good things, and they are very natural extensions of our faith. But what I am saying is that when those things become the major things, then we have missed out on the central part of what our faith is about. So what is the center of our faith? How do we major in the majors instead of majoring in the minors? Well, that's what our gospel reading today is all about. In our gospel reading, Christ helps us understand the scriptures. He helps us understand the center of our faith, because this was an issue for the disciples as well. For 3 years, they had a chance to walk with Jesus on earth and to listen to him and to watch him and to learn from him. And yet after all that time, when the events of Holy Week happen, suddenly they are caught off guard and they have no idea what to do. Christ is taken down from the cross and laid in the grave, and they are just lost. And so they find themselves huddling in a locked room for fear of the Jews. In the verses just prior to our text, two of the disciples have decided to run away from Jerusalem. They're on their way back to Emmaus. And while they're walking, another man appears with them and walks with them on the road and explains some things to them about who Jesus is. And just as the light bulb goes on, just as they recognize this is Jesus, he's gone. And so those two disciples run back to Jerusalem. They gather with those other disciples. They're still trying to make sense of all this stuff that's been going on. They still haven't been able to see the main thing and put all the pieces together. And again, Jesus comes and he appears before them. He says, "Peace to you." And he's not just speaking a typical Jewish greeting, but he is actually bestowing on them the peace that he speaks. And then he shows them his hands and his feet. He says, "Touch and see and be sure that it's me." And while they're still disbelieving, he eats a piece of fish in front of them so that they know that it's not a ghost. He's assuring them that it really is him who is before them. And then the key comes in verse 45. It says this, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness should be proclaimed in his name to all nations.'" There it is. There's the center. If you're looking for a one-verse summary of the entire Gospel of Luke, what it's all about, it's right there. The Son of Man must come down and suffer and die and rise, and repentance and forgiveness should be proclaimed to all people. That is the center of our faith. That is what we are all about. Central question of our lives, of everyone's life, whether they're Christian or not, whether they realize it or not, is how do you and I get right with God? Even if they don't conceive of God as a person, that's the question that everybody is wrestling with. How do you and I get right with God? Because all of us, on some level, recognize that we are not right, that we have done things that are wrong. And so how do we get right with the universe? Every other religion in the world seeks to answer that question by saying that you have to do something. Now, that something is different in every one of those different religions. If you're a Muslim, it means following the five pillars of Islam. If you're a Buddhist, that means meditating your way to a higher plane of consciousness. If you're a part of any number of 100 different tribal religions, it means you offer a sacrifice to appease the gods. In all of them, that something that you do is different, but what they have in common is that you have to do something in order to get right with God. And Christianity is different from all of the rest of the world's religions in saying that you can never do enough. The problem of sin is so great, is so vast, has so totally wrecked this world that you can never do enough to get right with God. And so the answer of Christianity, the answer is unique among all of the rest of the religions in the world, is that God has done it for you. God loved you enough that He sent His Son down from heaven to live among us, to show us the right way to live. And then, because the wages of sin is death, the wrongs that we have committed deserve the penalty of death, Christ goes to the cross and He suffers and He dies in our place. And then He rises to new life so that that death is not the final word. And so that every one of us who has been baptized into Christ Jesus, just like Reed was this morning, that every one of us that has been joined to Christ in the waters of baptism have been joined into His death and have been joined into His life. God has done it all for you. That's the first part. And then Jesus says that repentance and forgiveness be proclaimed to all nations. Repentance, a turning away from and a turning back towards. That we would repent of our sins, that we would turn away from all of those things that are living outside of God's plan, that are causing that hurt and that destruction and that pain in the world. That we would turn away from those things and turn back to God. That we would stop running away from His grace and turn back to Him and recognize that He has done everything that is necessary for us to be reconciled to Him. We'd repent and turn around and receive the forgiveness that He has won for us on the cross. This is it. This is the center of our faith. This is what everything is that we are about. This is what we need to major in, that Christ died and rose for us. And that we can turn away from those things and turn back and receive His forgiveness and grace. And then after explaining that this is the center of the faith, that this is why He came, Jesus then says to those disciples, "You are witnesses of these things." What does it mean to be a witness? First of all, it means that we experience it. A witness is one who has seen something. They have observed something. They've watched something happen. They know about it because they've witnessed it. And you and I have witnessed the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we celebrate Easter every year, to remind ourselves of this great fact, how Jesus died on Good Friday and rose on Easter Sunday for you and me. We have witnessed it. We have seen it. That's why we call ourselves Easter people. That's why we say that every Sunday is a little Easter, because every Sunday we celebrate that great resurrection. And yet it's not just Sundays. It's not as if we fall into sin on Monday and we recognize that we have to wait 6 more days before we can come back here to receive His forgiveness. It's already been done, and that grace is always there for you. And so the moment that we realize that we have sinned and turned away from God, we have the opportunity to repent and turn away from that sin and turn back to God in prayer and to receive His forgiveness and His grace into our life. You have witnessed it. You have experienced it. But there's another meaning to what it means to be a witness, and that is that you proclaim it. See, a witness is one who bears witness. He testifies to the things that he has seen. A witness tells others, "This is what I have seen and experienced." And so you and I, who have experienced this grace of God, who know the central thing that our lives are about, we are to proclaim it to others, to witness to it. And so you and I, we get the opportunity. When we encounter someone who is carrying around this burden of guilt and shame, who says, "I have messed up in so many ways. There is no hope for me because I have destroyed so many people." We get to come alongside that person and say, "You don't need to carry along that weight of guilt and shame anymore. You're right, you can't fix it. But let me tell you about the one who has. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. You can let it go. And we get to come alongside that person who feels alone and unloved and unlovable. We get to say to them, let me tell you about the God who loves you so much that he gave up his son for you, allowed him to die in your place that you might live forever with him. You are loved. We get to proclaim that good news into the lives of people who need to hear it. Major in the majors. The center of our faith is this, that Christ suffered, died, and rose from the dead so that you and me and all people might have life in his name. May you live in that new life, and may you share that new life with others. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.